Paper 66, Section 4. Early days of the 100. The arrival of the prince's staff created a profound impression. While it required almost 1,000 years for the news to spread abroad, those tribes near the Mesopotamian headquarters were tremendously influenced by the teachings and conduct of the 100 new sojourners on Urantia. And much of your subsequent mythology grew out of the garbled legends of these early days, when these members of the prince's staff were repersonalized on Urantia as supermen. The serious obstacle to the good influence of such extraplanetary teachers is the tendency of mortals to regard them as gods, but aside from the technique of their appearance on Earth, the Caligastia 150 men and 50 women did not resort to supernatural methods, nor superhuman manipulations. But the corporeal staff were nonetheless superhuman. They began their mission on Urantia as extraordinary threefold beings. 1. They were corporeal and relatively human, for they embodied the actual life plasm of one of the human races, the Andonic life plasm of Urantia. These 100 members of the prince's staff were divided equally as to sex and in accordance with their previous mortal status. Each person of this group was capable of becoming coparental to some new order of physical being, but they had been carefully instructed to resort to parenthood only under certain conditions. It is customary for the corporeal staff of a planetary prince to procreate their successors some time prior to retiring from special planetary service. Usually this is at, or shortly after, the time of the arrival of the planetary Adam and Eve. These special beings therefore had little or no idea as to what type of material creature would be produced by their sexual union. And they never did know. Before the time for such a step in the prosecution of their world work, the entire regime was upset by rebellion, and those who later functioned in the parental role had been isolated from the life currents of the system. In skin color and language, these materialized members of Caligastia's staff followed the Andonic race. They partook of food as did the mortals of the realm, with this difference. The recreated bodies of this group were fully satisfied by an unfleshed diet. This was one of the considerations which determined their residence in a warm region abounding in fruits and nuts. The practice of subsisting on an unfleshed diet dates from the times of the Caligastia 100, for this custom spread near and far to affect the eating habits of many surrounding tribes, groups of origin, in the once exclusively meat-eating evolutionary races. 2. The 100 were material but superhuman beings, having been reconstituted on Urantia as unique men and women of a high and special order. This group, while enjoying provisional citizenship on Jerusalem, were as yet unfused with their thought adjusters. And when they volunteered and were accepted for planetary service in liaison with the descending orders of sonship, their adjusters were detached. But these Jerusalemites were superhuman beings. They possessed souls of ascendant growth. During the mortal life in the flesh, the soul is of embryonic estate. It is born, resurrected, in the Morantia life, and experiences growth through the successive Morantia worlds. And the souls of the Caligastia 100 had thus expanded through the progressive experiences of the seven mansion worlds to citizenship status on Jerusalem. In conformity to their instructions, the staff did not engage in sexual reproduction, but they did painstakingly study their personal constitutions, and they carefully explored every imaginable phase of intellectual, mind, and Morantia, soul, liaison. And it was during the 33rd year of their sojourn in Dalmatia, long before the wall was completed, that number 2 and number 7 of the Danite group accidentally discovered a phenomenon attendant upon the liaison of their Morantia selves, supposedly non-sexual and non-material. And the result of this adventure proved to be the first of the primary midway creatures. This new being was wholly visible to the planetary staff and to their celestial associates, but was not visible to the men and women of the various human tribes. Upon authority of the planetary prince, the entire corporeal staff undertook the production of similar beings, and all were successful, following the instructions of the pioneer Danite pair. Thus did the prince's staff eventually bring into being the original core of 50,000 primary midwayers. These mid-type creatures were of great service in carrying on the affairs of the world's headquarters. They were invisible to human beings, But the primitive sojourners at Dalmatia were taught about these unseen semi-spirits, and for ages they constituted the sum total of the spirit world to these evolving mortals. 3. The Kaligastia 100 were personally immortal, or undying. There circulated through their material forms the antidotal complements of the life currents of this system. And had they not lost contact with the life circuits through rebellion, they would have lived on indefinitely until the arrival of a subsequent son of God, or until their sometime later release to resume the interrupted journey to Havona and Paradise. These antidotal complements of the Satania life currents were derived from the fruit of the Tree of Life, a shrub of Edential which was sent to Urantia by the Most Highs of Norlashadec at the time of Kaligastia's arrival. In the days of Dalmatia, this tree grew in the central courtyard of the Temple of the Unseen Father, and it was the fruit of the Tree of Life that enabled the material and otherwise mortal beings of the prince's staff to live on indefinitely as long as they had access to it. While of no value to the evolutionary races, this supersustenance was quite sufficient to confer continuous life upon the Kaligastia 100, and also upon the 100 modified Endonites, who were associated with them. It should be explained in this connection that, at the time the 100 Endonites contributed their human germ plasm to the members of the prince's staff, the life carriers introduced into their mortal bodies the complement of the system circuits. And thus were they enabled to live on concurrently with the staff, century after century, in defiance of physical death. Eventually the 100 Endonites were made aware of their contribution to the new forms of their superiors, and these same 100 children of the Endon tribes were kept at headquarters as the personal attendants of the prince's corporeal staff